Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 19 with me. Psalm 19. And we're going to have special music this morning, but you're going to do the special with me. We're going to sing Psalm 19, verses 9 through 11. So take your Bibles there. And somebody off with my pick. How do you like that? Here it is. That somebody was me. I dropped it. Take your Bible, Psalm 19. We're going to sing verses 7 through 11. Most of us know this, but if not, you'll learn as we do. Verses 7, 8, and 9 are sung as a verse. Verse 10 is sung as a chorus. Then once we've done the chorus the last time, we follow up with verse 11 to the tune of the chorus. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And then we repeat the phrase, and in keeping of them, there's great reward. Can you repeat all that? Very good. Well, you try it. So you are the special music today. You don't have to applaud when it's over, but you are the special music.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Oh, sweeter also than honey and the the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Gold sweeter also than honey. And the
Now verse 9.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward, and in keeping of them there is great reward, and in keeping of them there is great.
Everybody said? Amen. All right. And thank you, folks, for showing up. We appreciated the special music this morning. You did a good job with it. Aren't they wonderful verses? Aren't they rich? We're going to touch on them in our message this morning. Psalm 19 is a wonderful psalm, a wonderful psalm. And it's kind of interesting when Gail and I were down in Tennessee this past week. The first night that we arrived there, a gentleman that was parked on the left side of where we parked started talking with me, and he said, hey, listen, he said, if you've never done it, you need to take a drive up around the loop that goes around Cades Cove. It's quite a several-mile trek, and he says, you need to take a drive up there. And he said to me, when you do, he said, when you come back, you can't come back from there not believing in God. Well, I already believe in God. But it was interesting that he said that. He equated the beauty of the creation that he saw there with a creator. Amen? And everybody who is honest has to do that. They have to say somebody was behind all this. There's a great impact of God's revelation. What God has revealed, there's a great impact that happens in people's minds and heart. I want to talk about the impact of God's revelation this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have your word. And Lord, what a wonderful impact you've had in our lives. And you want to in the lives of others. I pray this morning that you'd bless your word as it goes forth. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts, strengthen us in our faith to be more faithful for your honor and glory. I pray that, again, if there's anybody here that is not truly born again, saved, on the way to heaven, that today they'd do something about it. Bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice again in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The impact of God's revelation. God has revealed himself. God has revealed himself. Do you know that there's no way that we could know anything about God had God not revealed himself to us? People think of a God as someone whom they've conjured up in their minds. But the only way that one could ever know who God is and what God is and anything about God is that God, the invisible, eternal God, would reveal himself to them. God has revealed himself. First, God's revealed himself through general revelation. Okay? That's not a military person anyway, either, by the way. But God has revealed himself through general revelation. And we see that, and we'll talk about that in a minute in creation. But general revelation, God has revealed himself. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. God has revealed himself to man through creation. And then there's special revelation that God has revealed himself through. And so, there are agnostics who teach that one cannot know there is a God. He's wrong. God has revealed himself. One may not want to know there's a God because that would require accountability, right? But one can know there's a God. Can I prove there's a God? I don't need to. Because God has revealed himself, and one either accepts that or willfully rejects it. The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. He's told himself so many times, he believes his own lie. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, let's think about the general revelation just for a minute. As we think about the impact of God's revelation, general revelation through creation, we read, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, the voice of creation. Their line has gone throughout all the earth. You can't hide from it. Their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, from earth's perspective, from the end of the heaven, and his circuit to the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The impact of God's revelation as it relates to creation. There's a testimony that creation gives. The testimony speaks clearly of God's glory. How can you look at the wonders of creation and not give glory to God? You have to be willfully ignorant or obstinate to not do so. And the testimony of creation just speaks out, there's a holy God. There's a creator. The expanse of the sky shows his handiwork. Every sky is different. Every skyline is different. Every sunrise, the sky is different. Every sunset, the sky is different. And every time, it's God's handiwork, painting a beautiful picture for men to notice and respect him for his glory and his power. The heavens declare the glory of God. In Psalm 148, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever. He hath made a decree which they shall not pass. Isn't it interesting how the world kind of just stays where God put it? If it were a big bang exploding, it'd still be exploding and it'd be going everywhere. Like my hair in the morning, yours too, amen? Yes, I glue it down. Otherwise, I'd look like a chia pet. The expanse of God's sky, he put it there. And he made a decree, it shall not pass. Notice we read that every word of every language hears the voice of creation declaring God. It's interesting. If you go to a place that is known for its natural beauty, Niagara Falls, or where we were down in the Smoky Mountains, it was beautiful down there. We hiked, Gail and I hiked to Laurel Falls, ascending quite a distance up to go to a natural falls there, cut away in the mountain. On the way back, we saw a little cub bear about a year old down over the bank and took a picture of him. He waved. Took a picture of him. We drove up to and then hiked another 3/4 mile about to Clingman's Dome, which is 6,643 feet above sea level. That's a ways up there, amen? And you know what was interesting? As we walked a pathway, you're meeting people, and I'm hearing all kinds of different languages. Spanish, which I could recognize for the most part. Japanese, Chinese. Different people from Europe, whether they're speaking German or whatever. Spanish, Debbie. Just hearing people coming by, I didn't know what they were saying. They could have said, boy, you look wonderful. Some of them said, I had a Michigan t-shirt on, and some of them said, go blue. Today, by the way, yesterday I had terrible mixed emotions as Army played Michigan. I kind of wanted Army to win, but I know they can't win the whole thing probably, so I wanted Michigan could win so that Michigan might be able to win the championship. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You want me to quit meddling and get back to preaching? But anyway, Army almost pulled it off. But I had that t-shirt on, said, go Michigan. People would say that. But other than that, we'd meet people speaking different languages. But I can guarantee they were all talking about the marvels of what they'd seen. You can look, they say, for 100 miles out from that dome. And I can imagine everybody's coming back, boy, isn't that awesome? What a beautiful sight. How serene. Some of them might have said, God is wonderful. But even if they didn't say, God is wonderful, they were proclaiming the wonders of what God did in their language, their words speaking of the marvels, the handiwork of our mighty God. Every language sees it. You can go to any country and see marvels of nature, right? Romans 1 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. As people looked at the marvels of nature, they saw the general revelation of God, God revealing his might, his glory, his power, his wonders, his knowledge in the beautiful creation around us. The general revelation. But then there's special revelation. And the special revelation of God is the testimony of himself. What God has testified of himself. We see that through his person. In the Old Testament, you see theophanies or appearances of God speaking to men, presenting himself in different forms to men. Christophanies, pre-incarnate appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. You remember when the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace? They saw a fourth person there, and he's like unto the Son of God. Special revelation, the testimony of God himself in his person. But also, God used visions through visions of God. Where in the Old Testament, they had dreams and visions and would retell them as from God. And it was from God. God used visions and dreams to speak to men before the written word was completed. And then, of course, we have the special revelation of God, the testimony of himself, through his written word. Through his word. Take your Bible, would you just hold it up, even if it's on your phone, would you just hold it up for a minute? Huh? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, amen? And the revelation of God is found through his word. God has revealed who he is, what he is, what he has done, what he has planned, what he has done for us in Christ. He reveals it in his word. We've not followed cunningly devised fables that men have made up and passed down. We have preached unto you the word of the Lord. The special revelation of God through his word. You know, the heavens that God made are kept in store by the word. Listen to this. 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. By the same word are kept in store. You know, we use nails and screws and glue and different types of fasteners to hold things together, and they don't always hold up. And God spoke the world into existence, and the power of his word holds it all intact. If his word could fall or fail, the world would explode. kept in store by his word. That's revealed in his word. The laws of physics that people know and recite, the cycles of the seasons are set in motion by the word of God. When people call what people call nature is simply God's word setting in motion physics and the cycle of things in the earth. That's all. Nature isn't a power in and of itself. Nature is a description of what God has commanded his creation to do over and over again. Seed time and harvest. As long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest, Jesus said. Cold. Amen. Look forward to it. Summer. Seed time, harvest. As long as the earth remains. Who did that? God. The cycle of water. Listen to these verses from Job 38. By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there's no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? The answer, no. God has done that. He has set it in motion with his word. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, when he uttereth his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. God does that through his word. Psalm 148, wind fulfilling his word. God's revelation, the testimony of himself through his word, that by his word everything is kept intact, and everything that we would know as laws of physics and laws of nature are set in motion by the word of God. Men have nothing to do with it. We just tap into the resources. God sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Amen? But it's God that does it. And God's revealed by his word that he did it, that he holds it in place, that he holds it intact. And then I want you to notice what is revealed here in Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, we have general revelation revealed through the testimony of creation. And then we have special revelation through his word. Let's look at it again. In verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We have the general revelation of God revealed by what he did in the marvels of creation. It speaks, God did this. The testimony of creation. And we see the impact of the revelation. It touches every person. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, or verse 3, there's no speech or language where it's not heard. It impacts everybody. Their line has gone through all the earth. You could go to the most remote place on earth, and it is impacted through the general revelation of God revealing himself through his creative power. Speaking of the sun, verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens. And that's not speaking of the vastness of the universe, because we know where the sun is and it affects our earth. Looking from earth vantage point, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit to the ends of it, showing the circle of the earth. And he says there's nothing, notice, there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Everywhere you go and anywhere you go in this world, on this earth, you're going to feel the effects of God's Son that he put up there. And he's revealed man to man his power in that creative act. Everybody is impacted by the general revelation of God through creation. Whether or not they admit it, it's impacting them. They try to explain it or de-explain it. But God is impacting them by his creation. Creation impacts every language, every person. But likewise, the Word of God impacts everything too. Not just the creation, but the Word of God itself. Especially the revelation of God through his Word impacts men internally. I want you to notice these verses again. We see the revelation of God general, the first part of the chapter, and then specifically through the Word in the second part of the chapter, verses 7 down through 14. But notice verse 7, the law, we change. We're talking about general revelation. Now we go to the specific, special revelation, God revealing his truth through his Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The revelation of his Word, several things. First, it impacts the soul. The revelation of creation impacts the mind and the reasoning of people and says there's a God that did this. But the Word of God revealed impacts the soul. Notice what it does in verse number 7, converting the soul. Converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul is the idea of turning back or changing the soul of man. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. This impact of the Word is that it converts the soul. Someone will look at creation and realize there's a God, but then the written Word of God reveals to that person that his soul is headed in the wrong direction and needs a turning around, a turning about, a repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, converting the soul. What transforming power the Word of God has on men. The Word does that. Notice secondly there, the revelation of his Word impacts the mind. The second part of verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Sure being solid, steadfast, unmovable. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The revelation of God through His Word makes the simple wise. The unlearned and unwrinkled with the complexities of life. It causes the simple to become wise. The Word of God gives people understanding about life that is not found outside of the revelation of God and His Word. These folks, psychologists, psychiatrists, psychobabblers, they go on round about trying to figure out all about man. Well, I have a book that tells me we're sinners by choice, by birth and by choice, with a sinful nature, and we're prone to wander, amen? And we need to be born again by the Spirit of God. The Word of God impacts the mind. What knowledge and wisdom comes from the Word of God to the mind of man? Folks, listen. You and I here today know more than most of the well-known teachers in the world about creation. Because we learned it from the one that did it. You know, science requires observation. No one has ever observed evolution. It cannot be observed. Number one, it didn't happen. There is one person who observed creation, and he wrote about it. The Word of God impacts the mind. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The next thing, the revelation of His Word, God through His Word, impacts the heart. Notice verse 8, the first part. The statutes of the Lord are, what's the next word? What a powerful word. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We tell people things, and they say, I don't know if that's right or not. Am I right? Say, Pastor, you are right. Thank you. Amen. I always wanted to hear that. But we tell people things, and logically so, they'll ponder in the mind, is that right? You never have to ask that when you read the Bible. He's right. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's right. The statutes of the Lord are right. And notice the impact of that revelation through His Word. It impacts the heart, rejoicing the heart. The righteousness or the rightness of the Word of God brings rejoicing to the heart of man. I have to be honest about something. You'd like me to be, wouldn't you? I shouldn't have prefaced it that way. I'll tell you something plainly. I would rather read the Bible than anything else. Because everything else I read is tainted by faulty humanity. But when I read the Word of God, I open up something I can't argue with, written by an omniscient being, I can believe His Word. It's right. And it rejoices the heart. It makes me happy inside to know that I'm reading the truth. It's right. It's true. What joy is missed and what heartache is experienced because of the injustices of men, they do wrong. But God's statutes are right. The righteous or the rightness of God's word brings joy to the heart as you read it. I read through the book of James this morning in my own devotions, and I just rejoiced at the rightness of it. And it wasn't because I analyzed it was right. I accepted it as right. I didn't put my Jim Whitman stamp of approval on what God said. You know, God, you got a good idea there, but I'll put my stamp to it. No, God said it. That settles it. I'll believe it. God's right. Revelation of his word impacts the heart because it can make the heart right through the word, bringing joy to the heart. We're made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. We're made right. We were wrong, but we're made right. Amen? Through Christ. Something else in this passage, the revelation of God and his word impacts the eyes. Verse number 8, the last part. Would you notice that, please? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The only people that get enlightenment about the reality of life and eternity are the people who open up the revelation of God in his word. And we see here that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It impacts the eyes. Men can see eternal truth and have understanding to see how it relates to the steps of life through the word of God. Aren't you glad we're not steeped in just religiosity where we go through motions and we go through meaningless motions and then go home? Stand, sit, look, wave, whatever, and then go home. We come because of the Lord, and we open up his word, and it impacts our eyes because he lets us see into the realm of truth and eternity. And we see things that nobody else gets to see because they're not opening up the revelation of God in his word. The commandments of God bring light to an otherwise dark pathway. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's an interesting phrase. Did you know that? Well, God wrote it. It ought to be. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And it means this. Thy word is a lamp. And the word lamp means a shining. And it correlates with the making of a furrow. Has anybody ever walked, gone right behind a tractor that has freshly plowed a furrow? How many of you have done that? Did you ever notice the sun shining, how it glistenings, the moisture of it, how it glistens? And that's the idea of a shining right there, right at that moment as it's turned over, a shining. The word of God is a lamp right there to my feet. And a light, and it's talking about a broad scope of light, such as daylight, lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I can see clearly where I'm going because of the word. That's God revealing himself to us through his word. What a wonderful thing, amen? Enough to make a prune shout. And then the last thing here, the revelation of his word impacts the actions. It impacts the actions. Look at verses 10 through 14. Would you look there with me, please? It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? You cannot ever comprehend or come to find his errors because there are none. Who can understand his errors? On the other hand, cleanse thou me from secret faults. You can find mine. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The revelation of the word impacts the action. We desire it like honey, like gold. Whenever we know its benefits, we want it more. We're warned and rewarded from it. It impacts us. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there's great reward. We're corrected by it. Let not the sins have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and be innocent from the great transgression. And we're to conform to it. Notice the last part in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Get the picture. The general revelation of God shows us the glory and power of an omnipotent, omniscient God whom we should revere and respect and should want to come to know. And then the word of God, God revealing himself through his words, shows us how we can turn about and be converted, come to him and learn from him and know from him and look at his word and how righteous it is and how much joy it gives us to obey it. And then we step back and we say, oh Lord, having revealed yourself to me in the power of your creation and having revealed yourself to me through your word, how right it is, how true it is. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You've showed me who you are. You've showed me what you expect. It impacts me. Let what I do and say and think be acceptable now in your sight. And it's not subjective to how we feel. It's subjective to the word of God. You show me what's acceptable. And so let my walk be acceptable in thy sight, in that I want to walk according to your word so that my actions are acceptable to how you have revealed you want them to be. We're to conform to it. That which is acceptable to God by what he has revealed to be acceptable. Let me just say this. In our day and time, what is acceptable is being determined by the emotions and the minds of man and public opinion. But when we look at the revelation of God and himself from himself through his word, we say, let me be acceptable in what? Thy sight. In thy sight, not my sight, not your sight, thy sight. So what's missing today? So we think about Psalm 19. What is missing today? People see the revelation of God every day through his magnificent creation. I witnessed people marveling at God's creation this past weekend, last weekend. And it does impact men, but not completely. That's why this psalm has general revelation and special revelation, the word. What's missing today? What's missing today, folks? Listen now. What was missing from the many people from the different language groups that I saw marveling at God's creation, here's what's missing. You ready? The revelation of his word. Would you take your Bible quickly and turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And verse number 12. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The same Lord that created everything, which is a testimony to his glory and power, the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call in him, on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's missing today, folks, is people being exposed to the revelation of God, especially through His Word. A person can look at creation and recognize there's a God, but not get saved. Looking at the creation and recognizing there's a God, a person has to come to the knowledge that he's a sinner from the Word of God. And that as a sinner, he's headed to an eternity in hell from the Word of God. And that this great God, the Creator, loved him so much that he sent his Son to die on Calvary for that person's sins so that that person could be forgiven and go to heaven from the Word of God. And needs to hear that that one who died for them not only paid for his sins but rose victoriously from the grave so that he could have eternal life found in the revealed Word of God. And then he needs to hear, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, from the Word of God. God's special revelation to man. Folks, this is what is missing. People need to hear what God says and has revealed in His Word. That's where we come into play. The heavens declare, and the word impacts, but we need the messengers to share it. And I want to ask a question in closing. How is God's revelation impacting you? As you look at what God has made, is it stirring your heart with love and devotion to a wonderful God? As you read what He wrote, is it stirring your heart to say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer? Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word this morning. And Lord, thank You for the fact that You have revealed Yourself to us through all that You've made, but then through all that You've said that we need to know about You. Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here this morning who's never personally allowed Your Word to convert their soul, may they turn from sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ today as their Savior. Would desire Your Word as gold, wanting it above all other things, loving it, tasting it as sweeter than honey. Lord, stir our hearts to Your Word, what You've revealed to us, causing us to want to do what's acceptable in Your sight. Impact our lives today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning, and we have to be honest with God. I wonder today if there's anybody here that would say, Pastor Whitman, I believe in God, but I've never personally put my faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my Savior. I've never really admitted to God that I'm a sinner. I need to be saved, and I believe He died for me and rose again to give me life. I've never come to Him turning from sin and calling on Christ to save me. I need to be saved. I wonder this morning if there's anybody, no one else is looking, that would just quietly slip up their hand and say, Preacher, that's me. I believe there's a God, but I've never personally asked Christ to be my Savior. I need Jesus today. Anybody today? Anybody? Anybody? I won't call you out. I just want to pray for you privately. Anybody? I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, a lot of things are impacting me. But I need to let God in His power and through His Word be the main source of impact in my life. Pray that I'd want to be what He revealed He wants me to be." Pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand today? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, we have invitation time here. It's not for me or anyone else to count how many come forward. It's a time when we can reflect upon what we've heard. We shut out everybody else. We've put a circle around our hearts and minds to God. And if there's something that touched us that we need to do business with God about, we come and we pray at the steps or the front pew and we just say, "God, I need this in my life. Help me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Your Word, what You've revealed in Your Word has impacted me today. There's someone, anyone this morning when we stand and sing that wants to come and pray about anything in their life, you do that privately. Slip back. If there's something you'd like me to pray with you about, I'd be glad to. Let's let go and let God. Let's let God, who's revealed Himself to us, have an impact in our lives today. Shall we stand, please, Brother Jeff?
Number 400 in your songbook, "Take My Life, Let It Be."
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with praises, Lord, to Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not all might could I withhold, not all might could I withhold. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever all for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time that we've had together. We've gathered truly together in Thy name. And Lord, we've sought this morning to exalt You as Creator, but as Savior, as one who's presented not only what You've done, but presented what You've said to us. Heavenly Father, I pray that each of us would leave here today with a renewed sense of a desire to want to do that which is acceptable in Your sight. Challenge us. And Lord, there's a world around us that sees what You've done in creation, but needs to hear what You've done in salvation. I pray that You would raise people up from this congregation to be ones who venture into the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Call people, send people, stir us that we might be used to share the wonderful news of salvation to others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen.
Thank you.